Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Nick Redfern in the middle of a long answer response here as we continue our discussion of secret history with Gene and Chris. Nick?
Yeah, as I said, one of the big concerns of the Robertson panel was that people like the Soviets would instill hysteria by spreading fake UFO stories, clogging the air channels, possibly clogging the emergency services, which they feared could be the overall goal and, you know, launch a sneak attack. And this Robertson panel felt that the best way to try and combat this would be to demystify the mystery and the intrigue surrounding UFOs. Now, you can make a very strong case that this was done for two reasons. One could have been that there were certain people on the Robertson panel who knew UFOs were real, and they wanted to do their utmost to convince people they weren't real. The other angle was supposedly to inform and educate people on what UFOs might really be, you know, from their perspective at least, like meteorites, things re-entering the atmosphere, aircraft landing lights, or whatever. And so one of the ideas that was actually never, it didn't actually go through, but there are indications that it was discussed at a very deep level, was the idea of commissioning the Walt Disney Corporation to make essentially like cartoons that could be shown at theatres, at cinemas, etc., possibly even on TV, and present the general public with sort of information-based cartoons and movies, demystifying the entire UFO mystery and trying to lay it to rest so that the Soviets wouldn't be able to exploit it, you know, and provoke US hysteria or whatever. There actually were meetings with people from the Disney Corporation and the discussions of how they might go about doing this and what would be required of them, just looking at the ways in which to alter the public's mindset. So it demonstrates how two famous bodies you would never imagine could come together, the CIA and Walt Disney, actually did come together on one of the world's most weirdest subjects, UFOs, and obviously behind the scenes, you know, not publicly. It does demonstrate sort of the sheer level of sort of conspiratorial-based stories and how weird, genuinely weird, they can get at times.
Oh.
Yeah, you might actually have Bugs Bunny, you know, sort of telling you, don't worry, there aren't any aliens, you know.
Right. Well, there's also the conspiracy theories about his movie Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, how it's all these subliminal signals about the drug culture, emerging drug culture and mm-hmm. stuff. It gets pretty wild when you start digging into kind of people's conspiracy theorist analysis of some of Disney's work.
Chris, why don't you define that more? How would you think Snow White would indicate?
Well, the names of the dwarves, you know, I read a very interesting article that related the some of the symbology in the movie to kind of, I don't know, hinting around at the efficacy of drug use as a way possibly to control culture or program culture, program kids. You know, it's memory kind of eludes me on a lot of the details, but I remember I was very impressed with the analysis, and it made me scratch my head and kind of go, it's pretty interesting. You know, Walt Disney did have a house in Sedona for quite a number of years, so maybe it rubbed off on him here. Maybe he was secretly a New Age kind of guy and was some things that wasn't publicly acknowledged. Who knows? I always thought he was kind of Republican and sort of right-wing myself, but I don't know. You know, you start digging. The more you dig, the more dirt you uncover, and Nick's a good one. He's got quite a toolbox full of digging tools and shovels and picks and occasional sticks of dynamite.
Well, with Walt Disney, his impression, if you watched him on that ABC TV show, was a very conservative sort of gentleman, sure.
Yeah, with dopey, sleepy, grumpy, they're all kind of states of post-drug use, I don't know, sort of behavior.
But isn't that kind of forcing it, though?
Yeah, I think on the surface, but if you know, I'll have to dig that article up and see if I can find it and post it on our forums. That forum, theparacast.com, it is very, very interesting. As is the whole Laurel Canyon conspiracy about how a lot of the major rock stars and counterculture figures of the 60s all were military brats and intelligence agency brats. Frank Zappa, Jim Morrison, Stephen Stills. You know, the list goes on and on and on of these individuals who had deep family connections to, you know, high-ranking military positions and also government and intelligence agency connections. It's pretty interesting when you really start digging around. You know, the way that culture is very subtly, I think, in some ways, but I think directly manipulated and programmed by, you know, some sort of conditioning agenda. I'm pretty convinced that there is some truth to that. And I think, you know, reading through Nick's book, it's hard not to get the sense that there is some sort of shadowy agenda that's been formulated and enacted very slowly over many decades. And we're seeing the results of that today, I think, as we started out talking about, you know, the surveillance situation, Edward Snowden's revelations, which Nick covers in his book somewhat, and just the whole idea that, you know, we're slowly starting to see, you know, a complete sort of fascist clampdown with the militarization of our police forces and, you know, this whole idea of the United States, you know, being the world's cop, and we have bases in 100 plus countries. And it's just, I don't know, it's hard not to go down that kind of dark alley of speculation when it comes to trying to identify these shadowy forces that appear to be at work. And I think Nick's very careful not to really go too far down that road, but I would be surprised if he didn't share some of my suspicions.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think what I always try and do is put out what I know for sure. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with speculating, but speculating providing, you know, you've got something solid to go on. So I prefer to sort of relate what I know for sure. And then if I'm going to speculate, make sure that people fully understand 100% that it's speculating.
Right.
Rather than wrapping something up in some gigantic conspiracy and people are then going to say, well, where's the evidence for this? Where's the evidence for that?
Right.
You know, there's nothing wrong with doing that, providing you let the reader know the difference between what you know for sure versus what you suspect. Yeah, I think that's a particularly important way to approach things when you're dealing with something so inflammatory as conspiracy theory.
Right. Which you do a very good job of presenting. You're one of the people I admire the most in terms of your ability to somehow magically dig up some pretty bombshell documents. An example of which would be some of the documents that you supplied me with when I was writing Stalking the Herd about the U.S. government's concern that the Russians could possibly target cattle in this country and compromise the food chain. And this was back in the 40s and early 50s.
Oh, yeah.
And that blew my mind. I was very, very impressed with that information and tried to integrate it somewhat into the chapter that it fit in. It was just very eye-opening to me, and of course, you know, who else would come up with such a bombshell set of documents? But our guest today, I must say, I have to kind of publicly thank you again for that, because that was really an eye-opener to me.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, those documents, I found those at the National Archives a few years ago, well, probably more than a decade ago now. Yeah, they're fascinating files. I mean, extensive files talking about, like, the Research and Development Board and various high-standing figures like Vannevar Bush, who reportedly was linked, you know, the whole UFO issue as well, deeply worried that hostile nations like the Russians could basically unleash like a virus or a disease and decimate the entire U.S. cattle herd. I mean, that was like a major concern. And so plans were sort of initiated to monitor the cattle herd and look out for emerging viruses and diseases and try and figure out, was it just some random act of Mother Nature or was it something more sinister? And why I think these files are intriguing and important is because I mentioned cattle mutilations in the book. Why I think these files are important is because they potentially offer a bit of insight as to how years later sort of a cattle mutilation program or monitoring program might begin.
Let's break it here, Nick, and we'll pick up on that. with Nick Redfern and Gene and Chris on the subject now of cattle mutilations as part of our show. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking ExtendoVite. It's been approved to help my heart.
ExtendoVite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. ExtendoVite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about ExtendoVite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking ExtendoVite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit 2 per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Cattle mutilations. We're on that questionable subject, Nick Redfern. Let's continue.
As I said, the cattle mutilation chapter I've got in the book deals with the FBI's declassified files on the subject, which are really interesting, and they talk about a lot of the cases that the FBI received were from the New Mexico State Police, specifically from Gabe Valdez, a name that a lot of people interested in UFOs will know. Many of his files on really intriguing cases from the Dulce area of New Mexico in 76 reached the FBI. And you can tell from studying the files that they were pretty impressed and thought, wow, something strange is going on. So I don't think the FBI was a part at all, any part of like a, you know, a player in the cattle views. They were genuinely intrigued and wanted to know what was going on. Now, ultimately, the investigation that some people in the FBI wanted to go ahead didn't go ahead, and it was basically a case of, well, it's all scavengers. A report was commissioned, the Rommel report, and it was put down to scavengers, etc., etc. But the documents that originally reached the FBI and the internal memos tell a far different story. But what I think is interesting is that these old files from 47, 48, 49, they demonstrate that there was a concern way back then about the U.S. cattle herd being infected by something that could spread and spread and spread. So whoever or whatever's responsible for cattle mutes, I think we see the foundations possibly laid down in those late 40s documents to justify why something along those lines might go ahead. You know, the fears and the concerns, and whether that means it's all just due to, you know, fears of biological warfare and viruses, and it's some sort of military agency keeping a watch to see if the cattle herd doesn't become infected, or whether there is a UFO component or a paranormal angle or, you know, occult organizations, or whether it's some bizarre mixture of all of them in a way we're not really understanding. I think the files are important in the sense that I think they come into play in this story somewhere.
Yeah, well, I think you did a good job summarizing the FBI's involvement, and I do have the complete set of files that the FBI declassified and released to the public, and there's no question that they were scratching their heads like the ranching community for quite some time, and it wasn't until the whitewashing of the Rommel port operation cattle mutilation that we have the perfect plausible deniability for everybody to go, oh, it's Doug and Dave doing the crop circles. Oh, it's, you know, predators and scavengers that are doing the mutes. Well, what's unfortunate and what I try to point out in my book is during the 6 months when Rommel was going around investigating alleged cases, there was quite a panic in the ranching community. And there were quite a number of scavenged animals, unusual looking scavenger action that was reported as a genuine case. What you don't see in the Rommel report is that it appears like the entire phenomenon, the real high strange cases, all seem to jump up to Alberta and Saskatchewan during that time period. And we have the Royal Canadian Mounted Police running around like chickens without their heads, investigating real cases up in Canada, and Rommel going around thinking he's investigating real cases and not even getting out of his car, actually. But his field investigators would go out and say, well, this is just scavenger action. So it's really unfortunate and rather disingenuous for people to, you know, just cite the Rommel report. It's in a similar way, it's very, very closely kind of parallels and resembles the Condon report, which pretty much whitewashed the whole UFO phenomenon and came up with the summation that there was no threat to national security. And, you know, in the case of Kenneth Rommel, who was a bank robbery expert, go figure why he was commissioned, given $50,000 to investigate cattle mutilations. You would think you'd want a veterinary pathologist or somebody in the in the animal sciences. So, you know, again, these whitewashes have a tendency to deflate the importance of issues and just kind of sweep them under the rug and give people plausible deniability to go into denial. And I think it's pretty apparent there.
You know, I think about all this. I wonder if we ever have a situation here where some of these conspiracy theories are floated, not to push you in the real direction of what happened, but to set aside an alternate viewpoint, get people to think about that, and hide some other factor we don't know anything about.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, I think that's actually exactly what happens. I mean, a perfect example is I've got a chapter in the book on Roswell, and the chapter basically is not sort of a study of what happened. It's a study of the no less than 13 scenarios that have been presented for what happened at Roswell. And I'm pretty sure that some of those scenarios were deliberately and covertly orchestrated to ensure that there are so many theories that the whatever really happened gets swamped by the mass of alternative theories. I mean, you know, from the Air Force, for example, we had initial statement that it was a flying disc. Then it was a weather balloon. Then in 1994, it was a Mogul balloon. That's three explanations from one agency. Now, a couple of years ago, in her book, Area 51, Annie Jacobson spoke about how she was told that Roswell was the crash of a Soviet device, and the bodies were actually children mutated by Joseph Mengele. back in the 1990s, Jim Keith, who's now dead, a conspiracy researcher, he was told that an aircraft, bear in mind that the Roswell Army Airfield was the only atomic bomb wing in the US at the time, he was told that an atomic bomb accidentally fell or was dropped from an aircraft and luckily didn't detonate. And he said that he was told that's what led to the Roswell UFO legend. It was hidden under a UFO banner. Then you have the idea of some sort of German, you know, something captured at the end of the Second World War and brought over with the paperclip scientists, that kind of thing. You have the time travel theory that's been put forward as well, you know, sort of us from the future coming back to see what happened at Roswell, only to realize that, you know, the time travelers crashed and they became the source of the Roswell story. Now, one of the most interesting ones, which again is very much under-investigated, but I talk about this in this particular chapter, it relates to a novel called The Flying Saucer, which was written in 1948 by a guy named Bernard Newman. And he was someone who worked in British intelligence for a number of years. And Newman's book, The Flying Saucer, it's a novel, but it talks about three UFO crashes, one in Russia, one in the UK, and one in, of all places, New Mexico. But they're not real UFO events. What they are, they're staged events by like a secret cabal of scientists that want to change the world mindset and create like a new world order. And so they stage these events, and they even create alien bodies that can be autopsied from like various body parts, you know, like creates like a chimera type creature. And so the events are staged, the crashes are staged, people on site are allowed to catch a glimpse of the bodies, and it's basically like a semi-sinister means by which to create a new world order and have the world united with this in the face of this alien presence.
You know, that's so fascinating. I want to talk more about it with Nick Redfern and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine.
But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Healthy elimination is essential to high energy, a cheerful mood, and prevention of disease. Some of the founders of our modern holistic health thinking state that disease begins in a toxic colon. A toxic intestinal tract is the foundation for virtually all degenerative disease, and a clean and well-moving intestinal tract is the foundation of health.
I just want to say that you folks have an amazing product. I've taken whey protein products for years, and I've never noticed the results I have with your product. I've suffered with thoughts of constipation most of my life. Within a few days of taking One World Whey, I noticed a dramatic change. Also, in the past few years, I've experienced symptoms associated with diabetes. I feel horrible when I've had too much sugar, and I've been getting the foot pain as well. But I've noticed in the past week or so, I'm not feeling bad anymore, and the foot pain is gone. I'm just finishing up a 5-pound tub I ordered and just got off the phone ordering more. I love your product. Thank you.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Honey, it's time for dinner. What are you doing over there on your computer?
I'm shopping for a new wallet. Mine is falling apart. Hey, did you know there's a company called ID Stronghold that makes shielded wallets to prevent electronic pickpocketing?
Oh, I didn't realize there was such a thing as electronic pickpocketing. What is that?
Well, apparently, many of the new credit and debit cards being issued have radio chips inside them called RFID that transmit our banking information to card readers when we pay. Unfortunately, a bad guy can also get one of these readers and go around the city scanning people, collecting their credit card numbers and personal information without us knowing it.
Wow, that sounds scary. Since you're getting a new wallet anyway, you should definitely get an ID Stronghold shielded wallet. Are they more expensive?
No. In fact, I can get a shielded leather wallet from IDStronghold.com for the same price or less than regular unshielded wallets from other stores.
Sounds great. My wallet isn't falling apart yet, but let me pick one out too. I want to be protected, and these wallets at IDStronghold.com look fantastic.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, so the story goes that we have these three faked crashes in order to, and that's a common theme in science fiction movies, as a matter of fact, get the world to work together against the alien threat. That was a theme in Independence Day, where the aliens are taking us over, and if we don't work together, we're going to be terraformed or dust or whatever. And it all starts with a 1948 book. I'm just fascinated, though, how things like a UFO crash in New Mexico were selected. Could that have influenced any of our lore about Roswell?
Well, it could well have done. I mean, as I said, Bernard Newman was someone who moved in intriguing circles in the UK, did have ties to significant figures in the world of intelligence. And you have to wonder if he had heard snippets of information or possibly even knew a story that one or more UFO crashes, maybe even Roswell, had been staged to create like a meme, you know, to influence the meme of flying saucers. Yeah, one of the interesting theories that was put forward was that maybe the UFO crash was staged to try and reel in Soviet agents who we know were in New Mexico because of all the research that was being done on atomic weapons at places like Los Alamos, for example, and all what was going on at White Sands with new technology research for aircraft and rockets. We know that there were significant numbers of Russian spies running around New Mexico at that time. Now, what better way to reel them in than to say, hey, you know, a UFO's come down. And then you sit back a little bit and see who starts snooping around the town of Roswell and who's got a funny accent. Maybe it was a way of trying to, like I said, reel in Russian spies. I mean, it could have been directed against all of us, you know, create a meme that where one day we'll be presented with a fake alien invasion. Or it could have been like a localized thing. We need a way to try and find these Russian spies. Let's give them the most amazing thing of all, you know, a crashed spacecraft. And they're going to come running. And then you grab them and, you know, you've closed down their operations without any real secrets being compromised.
Makes as much, if not more, sense than aliens not having the technology to survive being swept with a giant radar signal. You forgot one of the theories, though. It was your theory and the body snatchers.
Oh, well, I didn't forget it. I was just sort of telling people ones that I thought that they probably know less about, you know, like the flying saucer, Bernard Newman one. And
that's one on me.
But, yeah, I mean, the one I wrote about in Body Snatchers, the idea of high-altitude balloons and, you know, using handicapped people in some of these huge balloons that may have sort of exploded in the air and, you know, come crash to ground, so you've got this strange foil and these weird-looking bodies. I mean, that book that I wrote, Body Snatchers, that came out in actually 10 years ago, 2005, and I started the research and the interviews around about 2001. I was the first to admit I can never really, even to this day, I'm still not sure if there was like an agenda behind that or if the people were legitimately, you know, telling what they knew for sure. I mean, by their own admission, most of the people I interviewed said that they got their data from old documents, which they were exposed to in the course of their job in the 50s and 60s. Now, does that mean they were honest and earnest, but they'd been deceived, or were the files the real thing? You know, was it the crash of, I mean, like the Air Force said, it was a classified balloon. The people I interviewed said it was a classified balloon, but they just said it was, you know, it was like a manned balloon to test early high-altitude experimentation technology and that kind of thing. And the story was that it was controversial because they used handicapped people and prisoners and things like this and people from asylums who they felt wouldn't be missed. You know, as I said, I have to be honest, to this day, I don't know if it was somebody trying to seed more disinformation or blow the whistle on what is arguably more controversial than a real UFO crash. And, you know, I still often think about it because occasionally I still get a few snippets that push the story down that pathway. But, you know, somewhere in all these stories, these 12 or 13 theories, I'm pretty sure the truth exists. But the problem is, of course, which one of the 13 is the real one, you know?
Well, that also takes us to any major UFO story that has gained traction, has legs. Mm-hmm. How many of these cases represent the possibility of something unknown? And we don't have to say spaceships necessarily, just something unknown, something we haven't figured out. And how many might represent some kind of military test, like Washington National Airport 1952, or some kind of military experiment, a disinformation experiment? How do we separate that? Can we?
Well, that's the big problem. I mean, two cases for me at least stand out, both from, not just both from 1980, but both from within days of each other. You had the Cash Landrum case in Texas, and you had the Rendlesham Forest case in England. I mean, they were literally like 48 hours apart. Now, Cash Landrum, you've got the extensive number of military helicopters. You have this weird diamond-shaped object. You have stories of the three witnesses being maybe irradiated or possibly exposed to some sort of chemical component that adversely affected their health. You know, I think that could go one of two ways. A genuine unknown that was being essentially followed or chased by some sort of UFO retrieval team, or it could have been something that was being tested that went off target, and so you had like an emergency recovery team that would be involved in you know, just regular military recoveries of sensitive technology. As for Rendlesham Forest, you know, it's a significant case, but there are a number of interesting aspects to this story. For example, Ray Beauchesne, who was a former MUFON director in Lincoln, Nebraska, he interviewed or spoke with a couple of DOD scientist personnel, physicists, who told him that Rendlesham was like a psyop using all sorts of mind-altering technologies tested out on the military people involved, essentially to see how the mind could be manipulated and to what extent. So, you know, if you can convince military personnel, they're seeing aliens, then you could convince them of anything. And what is interesting is that, you know, if you wanted to do it in the UK, then the time and the location would actually be a really good one. I'll explain why. Because Rendlesham Forest, you know, it's a largest area of woodland, and the date when the incidents began was December the 26th. Now, December the 26th in England is Boxing Day. In England, most companies break up for Christmas on December the 23rd or the 24th. Nobody goes back to work hardly, apart from, you know, the essential workers, until January the 5th. We all have like a good 2.5 week holiday thereabouts. What happened was that the first sightings occurred on December the 26th, which in England is a national holiday called Boxing Day. Well, actually, they were British controlled. You know, they were just one base was leased out to the US. They only had a skeleton staff because so many people were off on leave for holiday. So, in other words, the number of people who were at the base was at a minimum. And on top of that, we know from the records that the Ministry of Defence, you know, they sort of, you know, their work scaled down over Christmas. You know, England might be the only place where people are like, oh, well, you know, we're going to have a cup of tea and have a holiday. We can worry about the Russians after Christmas, you know. But that's what happened. So, in other words, if you wanted to test out new and radical technology, the best place to do it in the UK would be deep in the woods at a time when most people wouldn't have been at the base because they'd have been on vacation, you know, and it would just been the skeleton staff. So the chances of the whole thing come tumbling out would be less. I'm not saying that was the answer, but, you know, it could have been the answer. And it's kind of, that also ties in with the flying triangle cases. I mean, the famous Belgian triangle cases of March 1990, when you had these huge waves of black triangles and the Belgian defense people chasing them, etc. You know, the one theory is that it was sort of some advanced military technology. Well, had that those sightings occurred on March the 31st, if the media had published immediately, probably the first day they could get it out would be April the 1st, April Fool's Day.
So you don't take it seriously, but let's continue that.
Yeah.
We take Nick Redfern very seriously. He's back for one more segment. I can't believe how time has flown. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, Coast to Coast listeners. I'm Kay Zwirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of George Norrie because his topics and guests are fascinating and really get you thinking. George is just as bothered as I am by all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life, to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond OsteoFX, which together are called the Healthy Start Pack. I recommend you go online to criticalhealthnews.com to purchase these products. That's criticalhealthnews.com or call 855-949-RADIO.
Many are in disbelief today after word of shocking allegations against a Minnesota-based talk syndication company known as GCN. It's claimed that they're the fourth largest talk syndication company in the U.S., making it even more scandalous that they've been accused of helping business owners expose themselves on a massive scale. Let's go live to Tom for more on this story.
It's being called the greatest exposure of our lifetime, while other business owners are beginning to step forward claiming they, too, exposed themselves with the help of GCN.
It's true. They're all guilty. Every last one of them. GCN helped me get the exposure my company needed, and just think, that was years ago. Today, GCN has like 700 affiliate stations and over 6 million downloads from iTunes and their website every month.
Imagine the exposure your company can get.
Expose your business to the masses. Email advertise at GCNlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective. GCN.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
On the Paracast with Nick Redfern, author of Secret History, Conspiracies from Ancient Aliens to the New World Order, and many other books. In fact, I'll mention before he leaves, he's got another book coming out, 3 months or so, on Bigfoot. But right now, let's talk about this particular theory where the news doesn't get published till around the 1st of April, so a story can be regarded as a possible April Fool's joke. Nick?
Yeah, well, as I said, Belgian wave of flying triangle sightings, these huge black triangular-shaped objects with illumination below, they've been seen everywhere, but there was a major wave at the very end of March 1990. All sorts of theories, UFOs, military technology. Now, as I said, that had the story been published immediately, because of the time frame, the first it could have got out was April the 1st. Now, that in itself is intriguing, but exactly the same thing happened 3 years later. I've got an entire chapter about this latter-day case in the book. There was a Royal Air Force base in England called Cosford, C-O-S-F-O-R-D, and on the night of March the 31st, there was a sighting of a huge black triangle over RAF Cosford and another base called RAF Shawbury. If you Google it, you'll find huge stories all about it on the internet. And again, the earliest date that the local press would have been able to publish that story because of the time frame and, you know, the printing schedules would have been April Fool's Day. So again, you have a situation where people may be flying advanced military technologies knowing that if they reach the press and we test on certain days, they're going to be laughed at. And there's also the issue of fabricating a UFO event in the woods near a military base when it's at Christmas time and half the people aren't there. You know, it keeps the word to a minimum. And it occurs at night when there's even less people on duty. I think more needs to be looked at with these cases, at some of these issues that seem tangential and on the sidelines, but may actually not be. They might be sort of integral to understanding what really happened.
Chris, do we have a couple of quick questions from our listeners?
Yeah, we do. And boy, we just barely scratched the surface. There was a bunch of stuff that I was hoping that we would get to. The death of all the microbiologists, some of the brain drain stuff going on at Marconi and alternative three type scenarios. And there's just a whole litany of stuff. And we never even talked about the ancient alien at first third of the book, which we're going to have you back, Nick, and do a part two, because this is like the most extensive book that you've written in a while. And boy, there's a lot of meat in there to sink your teeth into. So we do have a couple of questions from one of our posters, Bert State. Robert's one of our longtime posters and one of our most active members at forum.theparacast.com, where you can ask questions of our guests. And he's wondering, there's a couple of questions in here, but he's wondering about Bruce Duensing and the value of his creative and unrestrained thinking. He was wondering if you had any few thoughts on his passing recently.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tragic passing. I mean, Bruce was somebody who really thought out of the box. You know, he had almost like a unique way of getting his thoughts across in a very sort of colorful style of writing where you had to read him very carefully. But I like Bruce's stuff because, you know, it was like no theory was beyond his purview, if you like. You know, he would look at it, he would study it. And he had a lot of interesting concepts on the nature of reality and UFOs. And I mean, it's always, you know, tragic when somebody dies, but, you know, I mean, he died at only 64. And, you know, I'm sure had he...
He was a really good writer.
Yeah, he would have shared with us so many different concepts. And that was what Bruce was really good at, was making you think about his words and making you think about the concepts and paradigms that he was coming up with. And it was like, wow, I'd never thought of that. So that, you know, he actually was like a major contributor.
Yeah, he was really out of the box. It's a shame that he didn't publish more.
Well, that is the one downside. I mean, I was exposed to a lot of his stuff through the comments that he would often make at other people's blogs.
Yeah.
You know, the extensive comments. And you think, well, you know, this should be an article, or it should be expanded like a chapter in a book or whatever.
Yeah. We also have another question from Burnt State, and it's something that we kind of touched on before, but it's more, there's a little different slant on this. He says, regarding conspiracies, how would you rank the general principles of consumerism that create needs for people to feel bad about themselves and consequently buy unnecessary products while simultaneously cultivating vast ignorance in the masses? As far as general conspiracies go, is this the biggest one?
I'm not really sure. I mean, I guess you could make that argument. On the other hand, I think people just get, you know, sucked in by commercials and TV, you know, they feel that. I think it's sometimes it just comes down to the natural thing that people feel. If the neighbors have got it, they've got to have it, you know. It's kind of like, it's like when color TVs came in, you know, what, you've still got a black and white TV, so people felt pressured to get a color TV whether they wanted it or not, you know.
What didn't work, guys, of course, is they tried to say you need a 3D TV, and that didn't go very far, and now they're saying you need a 4K TV that's ultra HD or higher resolution, and it's questionable how far that'll go, but possibly more than 3D. But please, go ahead.
What I would say, though, is that I think, you know, I'm sure people who are interested in altering the population's mindset take a great deal of interest as how commercials do influence people and how signs in stores and displays can actually influence people to act in a certain way. I mean, studies have been done, you know, to determine how stores should actually lay out certain products in certain places and how they should be advertised for maximum sales. So a lot of thought does go into the whole issue of consumerism. It's not just a case of, oh, we'll put the cornflakes there and we'll put the frozen food there. Now, there's a lot of design goes into it. So, you know, you could apply that on a far more sinister scale as well.
Well, not to mention the targeted marketing on the internet based on your click-throughs to various sites. You can see the effect. Yeah. You click on a site that maybe has to do with some sort of, you know, product that you normally aren't interested in, then all of a sudden you see ads start appearing in your various websites that are targeted for a person that had just clicked through to that site. So there is that element as well. So it's getting more and more personalized and you know, manufactured for the individual.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a scary thing, you know, when you start getting targeted as a person. I mean, it can be, it's like, it's technology that can be helpful. I mean, you know, I'm a big, as you know, Chris, I'm a big fan of punk music, and I buy a lot of sort of old obscure punk CDs off Amazon. And Amazon's always sort of sending me recommendations, and it'll be for this punk band and that punk band, which I'm fine with, you know, because it might be stuff I haven't got. But on the other hand, you can see how that technology could be used to sort of reel someone in and have them just focused on, you know, the whole consumerism angle of keeping their mind off other things by buy this, why don't you get this, you need that. You know, it can be turned into that alternative sinister approach as well.
Yeah,
that happens, of course, with Google. We can go into a long technical argument about Google and targeted ads. And do you think they make money from the Android smartphone platform? They make money not from selling smartphones, but from data about you. Nick, we're just about out of time here. You know, as Chris said, I have a whole agenda of stuff here I noted as I was going through the book I want to ask you about, and of course we never got there. But I have an idea about that in a moment. In the meantime, Nick Redfern, tell our listeners where they can find more of the things you do.
Well, I have a blog called World of Whatever, which people can find at Nick Redfern Fortean, F-O-R-T-E-A-N, nickredfernfortean.blogspot.com, or just look me up at Facebook or Twitter or on Amazon. People can pretty much find me everywhere, I guess.
It's kind of hard not to find you, Nick.
Secret History, Conspiracies from Ancient Aliens to the New World Order is available from Visible Ink Press on Amazon and the usual offenders. You got another book on Bigfoot coming out soon, right?
They've actually got three more books coming out this year, but they're all with different companies, and they're just purely coincidence. They're putting them all out together. They actually weren't written together, you know. I wasn't sort of typing like a fiend or whatever. It was someone were held back, but they put them out together. Anyway, the first one comes out in August through New Page Books, and that's called Bloodline of the Gods. It's sort of like an ancient astronauts book. The Bigfoot book and Chupacabra Road Trip, they'll all be out this year.
We have to have them on the show every day. I'll tell you what we're going to do, folks. As you know, we have a second radio show, part of the Paracast Plus package called After the Paracast. All right? And you get a copy if you sign up for the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. You get the ad-free version of this show, After the Paracast. And what we've asked Nick to do is join us for a short time. Join us to kind of catch up on a few of the questions we couldn't ask here on After the Paracast. So he'll be our special guest on After the Paracast this week. You can sign up at plus.theparacast.com as part of our subscription package with the ad-free version of the show. And for subscriptions of 1 year or more, you get a copy of Stalking with Tricksters from Chris O'Brien. plus.theparacast.com. Nick Redfern, we'll see you very shortly. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thanks, guys.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey systems. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The human body is extraordinary, despite all the stress we inflict upon it. Thousands of people across the country use an extremely effective product to help their body stay balanced. It's Heart and Body Extract, an all-natural herbal formula designed to help maintain healthy blood pressure, clean arteries, promote good circulation, and balance cholesterol. Heart and Body Extract, along with good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free from pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of Heart and Body Extract. Learn more and read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers at heartandbody.com. Heart and Body Extracts offers a lifetime guarantee with no price increase in over 14 years. For free info, call 866-295-5305 now. That's 866-295-5305 or heartandbody.com. Distributor inquiries welcome. 866-295-5305.